The Daily Connect podcast.
And it's Monday the 12th of November, and it's Stephen Scott here on the Daily Connect podcast. Good to have your company. Coming up, our big topic of the week. Would you prefer a guide dog or a white cane as your mobility aid? We'll hear the view of one of our listeners, Paul Quigley, as he speaks to Simon Pauly on that very topic, which forms the subject of our Daily Connect poll this week. That's on the way. And we'll be checking in with Hazel Cross. She is one of RNIB's community facilitators. She's based in the southeast of England, and she'll be here to tell us what is coming up there. But we kick things off with news on a service that's available from the Department of Work and Pensions that a lot of blind people might not know about, but could help you if you end up in employment.
A lot of employers are not aware of the Access to Work programme. The programme is there to provide financial assistance for employers who have employees with disabilities. But unfortunately, many employers, and in fact many employees with disabilities, still do not know about the programme and therefore do not use it.
You may well be aware that Access to Work is a government-funded programme providing support and advice to disabled people to enable them to work. But as we just heard there from Martin O'Kane, who manages RNIB's employment service, many employers may not be, even though they could benefit from the assistance the scheme provides just as much as a vision-impaired employee can. Access to Work gives financial assistance, usually reassessed every 3 years, towards any additional employment costs that may arise as a result of an employee having a disability. So what role do employers play in helping a blind or partially sighted person to claim through Access to Work? As Martin O'Kane explained to us, employers can become directly involved in the type and level of support that is made available through the scheme. And first, Martin talked us through the process of applying to Access to Work, be that for accessibility adaptations in the workplace, help with transport getting to and from work, or sighted assistance with certain aspects of a person's employment.
When you would ask Access to Work for financial assistance in your job, a needs assessment is done by an Access to Work advisor. So you would apply to the programme, and then an assessment would be carried out which would look at what is the specialist support, what do you need to do your job, and a written report is done outlining key recommendations. So for example, if it's recommended that you require magnification to use your computer, that would be identified in the report. Or if it is a change in the lighting in the area you work in, that would all be documented. Now, the written report is then sent to the employer to discuss then the purchasing of the recommendations. And it's at that point that Access to Work and the employer will discuss and negotiate how much can be funded through the program. So the employer plays a part when the recommendations are made and looking at what level of financial assistance is the employer going to pay and at what level is Access to Work going to cover. So that's where the conversation between the employer and the Access to Work advisor would happen.
So looking at this overall, from your experience, does this make a big difference between someone actually being able to pursue a job or possibly get back to a job they used to do because they've got the skills before they lost their sight or their sight deteriorated further? Is Access to Work basically levelling the playing field, if you like? Is it working?
Well, it is working for those people who take it up and use it. As I say, there are many, many employers and employees who aren't aware of the programme. But for those who have used it, it has huge, huge potential to keep people in their jobs. So if someone is struggling to use a computer in a job, and many jobs are now IT-based, IT-focused, it could be a difference between someone leaving their job because they weren't able to use the computer and someone having a piece of magnification loaded onto their computer which enabled them to stay in their job. And through the Access to Work program, you can get your needs assessed. So you as a person with sight loss may not even realise what's out there to help you. And that's the value of the program. You can get recommendations as to things that will help you in your job. And then the second thing is that your employer can get financial assistance to help to fund those recommendations. So it really, really is a key, key thing that can help people to stay in a job. And the other thing is, if you're looking for work and if you're going for interviews, you can talk to employer about the program so that employer is aware if they're going to employ someone with sight loss, these are the things that can help me to fund any of those adjustments. So it's really another tool, another selling tool for you as a person going for a job, that you can say you're aware of this and it's a solution to any of those additional costs which could come into play in the employment field for someone with a disability.
Now, RNIB can help and advise about all aspects of employment for someone who's blind or partially sighted, but you need to speak to Access to Work Direct to actually start applying and to get your employment needs assessed. Access to Work says the quickest and easiest way to apply is online at www.gov.uk/access-2-work. Or you can phone Job Centre Plus on 0800 121 7479. That's 0800 121 7479. Before you start that process, you may care to read through one or more of the fact sheets that RNIB has produced on different job-related topics, including access to work. Other fact sheets cover topics like looking for work, staying in work, and there's a job-seeking resources fact sheet as well. And you can request any or all of these by phoning the RNIB's helpline on 0303 123 9999. That's 0303 123 9999. Or you can email them at helpline@rnib.org.uk.
Many thanks to Roland Myers there, telling us more about Access to Work. You can find out more of his features and hear more of them on the website infosound.org.uk.
The Daily Connect podcast.
And time now to meet Hazel Cross. She is one of RNIB's community facilitators. She works in the southeast of England and she's here now to tell us what is coming up in her area. Good to have you here, Hazel.
Hello, Stephen Scott, the Connect Radio team and the Daily Connect show listeners. How are you? It's Hazel from the RNIB community. I'm a community facilitator for the southeast, working for RNIB. I just wanted to give you a quick update on our Connect meetups that we've got coming up. This is a relaxed way to meet, share experiences and handy tips with others in your area who also have sight loss. This is also a chance to meet your local society, discuss what you enjoy doing, and to tell us, RNIB, what you'd like for the future in your community. A couple of events that we've got coming up. The first one's in Portsmouth. It's on Sunday the 25th of November at 1:30. It's being held at a Hollywood Bowl, and it's for 18 to 25s. And we've got one in Hastings. This is being held at the East Sussex Coast College on the 26th of November at 1 p.m. The next one is Farnborough in Hampshire. This is on the 28th of November at 1 p.m. At the ground floor of Premier Inn. It's Premier Inn Farnborough Central. We also have one in Reading, so Berkshire, at the Town Hall, and that's on the Monday the 3rd of December, so we might be getting a bit festive on that one. Finally, we've got one in Amersham, which is in Buckinghamshire. That's on the 15th of December at 11 a.m. That one has been organised by Susan Clark, who used to be a Lead Connect volunteer, and she's now employed by RNIB, so it'd be great to have a good turnout for that one also. So we're just using these events to get everybody together, a bit of a social, a cup of tea and a chat. If you guys would like to know more, just give me a shout on my email address, which is hazel.cross@rnib.org.uk. So that's hazel.cross@rnib.org.uk, or you can get in touch with the Connect team and I'm sure they'd pass you through to me. I hope you all have a great day and I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you, Hazel, and to you.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Now, finally, on the podcast today, the subject of our Daily Connect poll. If you're blind or partially sighted, would you prefer a guide dog or a white cane as your mobility aid? Well, that's what we're asking on the Daily Connect poll today on Twitter and on Facebook. Go check it out and give us your thoughts. You can tell us what you think. One comment that made me smile this morning was the suggestion instead of a driverless car, which I think is great until you're heading around the shops. Maybe not a good idea there. But yeah, I like this idea. So good discussion started online. Check it out on Twitter and on Facebook and add your comments and join in the voting. But for now, let's hear from Paul Quigley. He's been talking to Simon Pauly on this very topic.
At some point, you may have to make the decision to use a white cane. And you may think, should I get a guide dog? Now, it's not for everybody. It's horses for courses, as they say. Paul Quigley recently lost his sight fully and is a white cane warrior, aren't you, sir?
I am indeed, Simon. Thank you very much for having me on your fantastic programme again, by the way.
The check's in the post.
Ding!
Right, now, you're a white cane user. How long have you used a white cane?
Altogether, it's probably about two and a half years, actually, come to think of it. Yes, quite a while.
And did you go through the choice, you know, did you think about ever getting a guide dog?
No, I never thought about guide dog because for me, my process with RP, as you know, with retinitis pigmentosa, there are various different strands of it and different types of it. The version that my family has is called X-Links. And what happens is you tend to lose your peripheral vision over, you know, years and years. And so when I began my white cane training, I had some macular, which is central acuity vision left. But by the time I finished my training, it had all gone. So it was like a moving target, moving goalposts with training for mobility. So with a dog, I just thought if I complicate this even more with having a pet, basically as I saw it, who would need walking, feeding, I couldn't see how I would even do that for myself, let alone an animal. So I just thought, no, I'm just going to keep a little white stick or a long white cane in my case. It doesn't need feeding. It doesn't need walking. It barely needs cleaning. So dogs for me, it is out. I just don't even think, even in the future, I would ever think I need a dog to navigate the world. I think I would probably be more concerned about its welfare than my own. And I just don't know that I'm ready for that. Having said that, you know, as you said at the beginning of your piece, it's horses for courses, isn't it? I mean, some people would probably go, oh, no, I couldn't kind of countenance a stick at all. I'd have to have a dog. But for me, it's just not for me. So white cane for me works every time, and it is, you know, I can get from A to B, which is ultimately what we're trying to do independently, and that's the key word. And I've heard, well, read stories of people who maybe leave food in the road, and sometimes if the dog isn't trained, well, if you don't look after your dog well, it might disappear into the curb to start noshing on a burger or something if it sees some chips or something down there. I don't really want to be standing there, you know, in a gutter whilst Fido starts noshing a bit of the old Mackie D's. It's not for me, you know. I'd rather just get to where I want to go, really.
Yeah, and I suppose if you came to that choice that you thought, I'm going to have a look at this, then some of these things might be ironed out in your mind. But yeah, again, there is a big commitment, isn't there, to having a guide dog?
Massive commitment. Yeah, I think, you know, I think people think that dogs, you just park them at the doorstep and they're ready to go when you're ready to go back to the shops again the next morning. It's not like that. They're part of the family or part of your work, your life 24/7, aren't they? They're not just a mobility scooter that's again parked outside. I think it's a real commitment, and personally it doesn't work for me. And I think that it's one of those things that, you know, I think you should never say never. I mean, there may come a time in 5-10 years time, which I have a complete 180 on this and go, wow, you know, I never thought I'd think that. So it's options. It's all about horses for courses, as you said at the beginning.
Everything has its pros and its cons, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Everything has pros and cons. Yeah.
It's funny, I used to babysit my friend Joel's guide dog, Lucas. He used to come and stay with me at times. And it was funny, you mentioning about the food. I remember one time, we're walking down and we get into my street, and I've got him beside me, and he's as good as gold. We get to the end of the street and I look down and he's got a polystyrene container full of chips in his mouth. And I'm like, where did you get that? I mean, I hadn't even seen it. Well, obviously, there could be reasons for that. But it was like I hadn't even seen him move. He hadn't missed a beat. And there he was with these big container of chips.
saying, I'm loving it to you, Simon. I'm loving it.
Did you want one?
So where did he park you? Did he park you in a safe place before he went off for a crafty Mackie deal?
No, he was with me. He was on the lead. He must have done a smash and grab at the side of the road that I didn't see.
And he must.
Without missing a beat. So, yeah, I mean, I know some of you at home will be thinking, you know, I made the choice for a guide dog. Or maybe it wasn't an obvious choice and you wouldn't be without your guide dog now. We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with the usual ways. It's radio@rnib.org.uk or you can hit the Contact Us tab on our RNIB Connect Radio website. Take care, Paul. We'll speak to you very soon.
Thank you very much indeed. Cheers. Thanks.
Thanks to Simon and to Paul Quigley there. And like I say, you can check out the Daily Connect poll on Twitter and on Facebook and share your views on our question this week. Would you prefer a guide dog or a white cane as your mobility aid if you're blind or partially sighted? That is the question we're asking this week. Please do get in touch with your thoughts. The show's back tomorrow, 10 till 12. Join us for that and on the podcast just after 5. See you then.
The Daily Connect podcast.